the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. WMVP WSAG HD2, Chicago. Live from Benny's Beverage Depot in Vernon Hills, this is the Waddle and Sylvie Show, presented by Miller Lite.
We're on twitch.tv. Follow us at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Let the Miller Lite flow.
All right, the Miller Lite is flowing.
Aaron Rodgers is here.
I know. They were just, he said to me, we're talking about the fans here at Benny's Beverage Depot in Vernon Hills. This place, you know, just opened this summer. It used to be a Hobby Lobby. Someone told me here that the Hobby Lobby still has packages.
This is my hobby.
Oh,
for
yeah,
me. This is a Hobby Lobby for me.
Waddle would call this Waddle's Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
Benny's
right.
Beverage Depot right. At Hobby Lobby. But someone was telling me they still get packages still sent here.
It's fantastic.
Isn't it?
Don't you like to come into a Benny's every now and again and just walk through the wine aisles? I do. Like when
do
we have events at a Benny's, I kind of like to, I'm looking for new product.
Well, it's glorious because it's more than just the liquor store. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's a good tagline.
More than just a liquor store.
Like, look at this wine room in here, you know? And, of course, we've got the Miller Lite stack.
They won't let anybody in here. You have to have a key to get in there because that's where all the expensive stuff is kept.
Yeah. It's like the jewelers where they've, you know, you got a double buzz, right?
I don't know if you guys did this because I was sitting next to the door, so you locked it up or normally. See, the guy's got the key over there. I guess I don't have I don't have trusting eyes, I don't think.
So anyway, these fans who are here, this one guy said to me, he goes, "You like my Rodgers shirt?" And I said, "No, I don't." And he's like rubbing it in. He's a Bucks fan. And he's a Packers fan. And you grew up here, right, in the suburbs, works in Libertyville and Buffalo Grove. And
he likes winners, man.
Yeah, and then that's
I think you have someone in your house
I want to get to that with the Fields stuff and Fields versus Mac Jones. And this is why it's vital, Waddle. This is bigger than just winning a football game. I would rather go to the Bears game this weekend and have them lose 38-31, then win 16-9. Okay? If you told me, I'm taking my kids, they're 3-6, they're not going anywhere, we know the people running the team aren't any good. And if you told me, Sylvie, we're giving you behind door number one, you can take your kids, you can see a 16-9 slop fest where, you know, Justin Fields did a throw or two. They ran the ball. They played an ugly game. They got a couple of fluky takeaways. Lamar Jackson was careless with the ball. On one long run, they punched it out. They got it. And the Ravens continued to play bad football after their Miami game, which was a big surprise. And Bears win. They're now 4-6.
Ooh.
Or they can lose their fifth in a row. This is going to be probably unpopular. They can lose their fifth in a row, but they're going to score 31. And the offense is going to pick up where they left off from the Steelers game. And they're going to march down the field. But you know who else is good is Lamar Jackson coming off their long week. Because the Bears are playing without Khalil Mack now for the rest of the year. And Akeem Hicks is out. And Eddie Jackson wasn't able to go again. And really, they've got Jalen Johnson and Roquan Smith, and that's it. And now Danny Trevathan is out. So they're shorthanded, and the defense wasn't great to begin with. And now all of a sudden, teams are scoring a lot of points. 38-31. Ravens win, but the kid flashes and just continues to impress after the Steelers game, and I want my kids to see that so they go, ooh, yeah, this Fields jersey, when I wear this on Monday, I saw some great moves again from Justin Fields. Like, my oldest likes Lamar Jackson. My oldest likes Tom Brady.
I hope he's crying at the end of the game. No offense, Mason, but I don't want him to be happy about what Lamar Jackson has done to us on Sunday.
What would you take?
You know how I feel. I have not wavered. I don't think they're a contender, so them winning on Sunday. I will not be cheering for them to lose on Sunday. But
right,
them winning,
there's a difference. I'm giving you those two scenarios.
I'm choosing the scenario where the young quarterback continues to make progress, because 2021 to me is about the young man making progress. And if they win games with him making progress, fantastic. If they don't, and as long as he's making progress, again, I don't believe they're a contender. So I'm not asking for them to lose games because I don't think win or lose, they're going to win anything. They're not competing for anything this year. So what's most important to me is to see Justin Fields continue to play well. So if you're giving me the choice between winning a nail biter
16-9
or losing 38-31, I'd prefer to see the game where the quarterback plays better. Which game is that?
That, well, that's 38.
Then that's where I'm
and
going.
I intentionally described it to you as Justin Fields is balling.
Yeah.
You know, 31 points, and they're moving the ball up and down the field after they move the ball up and down the field in the second half of the Steelers.
What's
game.
More important at the end of the day on Sunday, that they beat the Baltimore Ravens, or that your young quarterback, who hopefully will be leading your team for the next 10-plus years, is continuing his upward ascension?
That's why I looked at the article. I don't know who wrote it, if it was John Greenberg's article on The Athletic or someone else wrote it, but the headline screamed at me, at least when I got my Athletic email this morning, that said, will the Bears get another more? Are we still in something for moral wins? I believe the moral win is winning ugly.
Because the moral victory?
The moral win, in the grand scheme of things, even though you're winning the football game, because you're not going anywhere. Because what really is it giving you? A moral win to get back to 4-6 with Matt Nagy at the helm and not playing well offensively is a lot less for the franchise, as you just described, than to tell me Larry Borum is protecting Justin Fields. Justin Fields is balling and connecting with Darnell Mooney. They're running the football with their two running backs. And their offense, that truly is a bigger win for this franchise going forward than winning an ugly game because the Ravens continue to play bad football.
Yeah, I mean, it goes beyond. Like, look, if they score 31 offensive points, that will be their greatest output by a large margin. They scored 27 last week against the Steelers. Seven of those came on a return of a fumbled punt by the Steelers. So they only scored 20 offensive points. So if you tell me that this offense goes out on Sunday and scores 31 points and the quarterback plays well, to me it's a no-brainer.
Like that,
and again, I'm not
celebrating that. You
I'm
know
not
what I
cheering
mean?
For them to lose. That's not part of the equation. But again, my perspective on that's why when we started the season and we gave we had that list, that exercise. What was who's the most important player? Justin Fields.
Remember that Yurko didn't even put Justin Fields on his list, and he put Kendall Vildor, like, up high?
Yeah.
Kendall Vildor.
The good kid was trying to be funny.
He's playing contrarian. Was
I
he trying
so.
To be funny? Or
I don't know. But listen, again, I get it. I would never tell anyone that winning a football game is a bad thing. But
what's the better thing?
The better thing is to see your young quarterback continue to progress. For me, because
right. You're
not winning anything this year. So what I need is to see this kid that you're really your future is hinged and is attached to. He's got to continue to play well. That's what will make me feel well. And you know what will happen eventually is if he continues to play really well and makes progress, the wins are going to come with it. Like, he will bring you into the win column.
You will get into hopefully a new generation of Bears football.
Yeah.
One that we've never experienced.
That's right. So, like, that'll all take care of itself for the most part.
And then I can go to a radio show's remote, and I can show up in my Bears shirt with Justin Fields, say to the host, when I'm old, hey, you like my Bears shirt? And, like, then it's cool. You know, not the Rodgers jersey or not an out-of-town jersey. My quarterback's jersey is the cool one.
We've been waiting to do that for quite some time.
And again, they're under the microscope for me this week, too. They've been for a while. I told you about these Groundhog Day moments where 19 is 20, the 2019 season is 2020, 2020 is 2021, and it's repeating the same frustrating Matt Nagy stuff. They're coming out of a bye. Okay, they're coming out of 2 weeks of preparing, especially on offense, with Justin Fields' best half of football, with an offense that nearly pulled out a huge game on Monday Night Football. Come out and move the damn football.
Yeah.
Come out and know what you're doing. And if they take another step back against this defense, this Ravens team, that is not good, and then they're struggling again and they're punting, and they're putting up 3 or 10 points in the first half of football. Like, it's not good enough. And it shouldn't be good enough for anybody.
I would say to them, how, if you would advise George how to look at this game, I would say look at it as a mirror type of game. Look at the opponent. It's the Baltimore Ravens. They're coming off of extra rest. They're not coming off a bye, but they played last Thursday night against a bad Dolphins team, and they played pitifully. So what will you see from the Ravens? If the Ravens come out, and again, John Harbaugh 10-4 coming out of a bye, they don't usually lose 2 in a row. They respond to the adversity that they create. So who you want to be is a team like the Ravens. You have a young athletic quarterback. You've got a team that is very well coached. Like, if the Ravens come out and they're disciplined and they're ready to play and they're going to, you know, they're going to play differently based on the loss against the Dolphins, you know, 10 days ago, then compare it to what you're seeing from your team coming off a bye. If your team's coming out committing penalties and they're not playing disciplined football, just use that as a measuring stick. Now, hopefully they come out and they are more well prepared than they have been in the past coming out of the bye. But I think the Ravens are a good example for management to look at and
yes,
say, this is
great.
Who we want to be. Like, again, look at the Ravens. Horrible loss on Thursday night. Okay? Coming out, let's see our coach. Can our coach get us ready to play? Are we going to be disciplined? Will we bounce back? I think that you look at the Ravens and you try to become a team like them.
Yeah, if only, right?
Sure.
Give me a Ravens in it every year, winning a Super Bowl every now and then. I'll sign up for
and
that.
And not only that, but the Ravens have done a brilliant job bringing along their young quarterback. Greg Roman, their offensive coordinator, has done a fantastic job getting the best out of Lamar Jackson. So I look at the Ravens and I see a team that we should try to compare ourselves to, and that should be kind of our initial goal, is to get to the same level as that franchise is.
Yeah.
Because they do
Lamar
a lot
Jackson
of things.
Lamar Jackson won an MVP early in his career, what, third or fourth season?
Yes. Well coached, developing a young quarterback.
With an identity.
Don't stay down long, very disciplined.
Draft.
When they do get down, they do bounce back. They draft well.
That's the thing.
Of course.
Like, what they did in the last 20 years, and they've just passed it along. Is it DeCastro now or
DeCosta? Yeah.
Who took over
for Ozzie Newsome?
For Ozzie Newsome, who was as good as anyone. All they do is draft. They draft and they draft and they draft.
And they're well coached and they do things the right. I mean, and they use analytics and they do. Like, I look at the Ravens and I see a team that I hope my team can eventually play like.
See, if I'm George, the only way Matt Nagy keeps his job is if he truly shows me he's building on some success. Not, hey, flash in the Pittsburgh game, then come out of the bye and have a lull. That's why I think this is a really big moment for Matt Nagy and this coaching staff, if they have any hope at all of keeping their job, come out and take another step forward.
I would say that I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe trick, because we saw that last year where they came down the stretch and they did it differently. But they
won with smoke and mirrors, though.
They did, but like,
that's why I want to see the offense.
I just don't know if it's going to take a significant improvement, consistent improvement over the last 8 games of the season for me to say, yes, I think that the coach has changed the narrative. I think it's going to be very difficult for him to do.
Well, that's why this is a big one, in my opinion.
I think they all
are. Because if you show you come out of the bye after success and you can't capitalize off of that against a team that's 32nd against the pass, you can't do it against them, then to me, I'm already looking. I'm looking.
Yeah, I've been looking for a while.
Yeah, I know. We all have been looking. Yeah. I mean, 332-3776 is the phone number. Carm had it out with Mike North. He finally had enough. Northy just continues to talk about Mitch Trubisky. And Carmen could not take it anymore. And I think they had it out, and we've got a sample of that. The full show's coming up at 7. We're still at Binney's Beverage Depot in Vernon Hills. A great crowd is here. You could come out here, too. We're giving away tickets for Bears-Ravens in about 15 minutes. We're here until 6 o'clock. It's all brought to you by our great friends and partners at Miller Lite.
Live from Binney's in Vernon Hills, it's Miller Time with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Oh! First time I've seen this move from Waddle. I've never seen the double autograph executed by one Tom Waddle. We have someone here wearing a Tom Waddle jersey.
Signed the 7 on the back and the 8 on the front. The 7 on the back had already been signed.
Right, it was great. It was a great scene. I tweeted it out. He's like, oh, that's a great one. We were like, great jersey. Whenever I see the 87, I love it. We were on the road in Vegas together, and we were looking at all the 87s, and there were several Waddle ones, and then, of course, you're going to get some other. There's going to be a Moose and Muhammad here and there.
Yeah. Dwayne Bates.
Have you seen a Dwayne Bates?
I have, yeah.
Oh, really? So it's great to see the
Emery 87s.
Emery Moorhead's a good one.
I got a picture taken with Dwayne Bates and Emery Moorhead. We did it one function. We were together. It's one of my favorite pictures.
The 87.
87 Club. Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah.
So this person showed up with the Waddle jersey, and I tweeted out the picture. And Waddle's like, oh, would you like that signed? And she's like, I already have it signed. He's like, let me sign the front. So you always sign the 7 on the back? Is that what you do?
Yes. I asked her if she wanted me to sign it again. She said, yeah, sign it on the front. So I signed it on the front, and I signed her visor.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is a triple signing of Tom Waddle right there.
Yes, I'd sign anything you bring to me.
That is great. I have not heard this. I know you've been excited for this.
Yes.
Merkin was here, Randy Merkin, who produces Carmen and Yurko, and, of course, the Odds Couple. Odds Couple coming up after Bleck and Abdallah. Bleck and Abdallah in about 40 minutes, and then the Odds Couple. And Carmen, we've texted about this, too, in our group chat. Like, it's a running bit. I love Mike North. We have the same birthday, by the way. He's a legend.
He's a legend in this town, in this industry.
But he's created Mitch into a legend of his own that doesn't exist. The legendary Mitchell Trubisky. And Northy thinks he's great, and he'll tweet over the weekend that, hey, they would have won that game if Mitch would have been the quarterback, right?
I think he said that about the Steelers game, didn't he? Like, if Mitch had been the quarterback, that they would have beaten the Steelers on Monday night?
So
I think.
And I know that it's been bothering Carmen a little bit. And Carmen's got the short fuse. I'm not going to go into the impersonation again. It got me in trouble.
No, do it again. Do it again. This time, just don't finish the F word.
Funny radio stuff can get
funny.
Carmen in a tizzy.
Funny.
But you can tell him that he's just lost $100,000 in his 401k.
I think that's your best impression.
You're gonna win. You're gonna win some. You're gonna lose some. You know what's 100K? It's gonna blow it anyway on Geo. Mark North says Mitch Trubisky can win, and then he goes crazy. So Carmen, as they tape the Odds Couple, Northy, I guess, brings it up again. We're excited to hear this. Here's a little sample of what's to come tonight on the Odds Couple.
I've never seen a fan base that wants somebody fired so bad, yet agree with almost every move he's made. No. Well, jump on the bandwagon for Dalton, for Foles, you know, get rid of this guy, get that guy. Let's let him fight. Yet he could say tomorrow, we're going to start Dalton again. Oh, it's a good thing.
I don't know. I disagree with that.
You would agree, though, that we talked about it earlier, Carm, that every quarterback that they've played, you've basically been for, except Mitch. So basically you're endorsing every move Nagy's made, yet I'm sure you are at the top of the list of wanting them maybe.
I never wanted them to play Andy Dalton, not for one
single
second.
Well, who are they
going to
play?
Justin Fields, the minute they drafted him.
Yeah.
I never for one second the Bears to play Andy Dalton. Merck, I mean, you can back me up on that. All right.
But that doesn't make you right.
Hey,
you can back me up on Justin Fields.
Well, but I'm not saying I'm right, but to say that I've agreed with every move Matt Nagy or Matt, that's not true.
Well, okay, but did you have a problem with Dalton coming to the Bears?
Yes.
Who was going to be the backup? Okay, then Foles, your original starter, who you loved, was going to be the backup.
I don't love Foles either, but I'm smart enough to know that you can't pay $25 million to Mitch Trubisky. Mm-hmm. You cannot.
How much you think Mitch will get next year from about the 7-8
Let somebody else pay him that money. Well,
okay.
Why would I pay $25 or $30 million?
Because you keep jumping in a
fridge.
Because you keep jumping in a swimming pool that's empty.
Well,
sooner or later you hit yourself in the head. You say maybe I'll jump out of the prediction business for quarterbacks. That's all.
The Bears need to jump out of the prediction business for quarterbacks, unfortunately, because they can't get it right. But, I mean, but please. Yeah. And they should have never for 1 second started Andy Dalton. And I've been saying that since the spring.
But
not
once
for
again,
a second.
Once again, you're the poker player that loses quite a bit when predicting quarterbacks. So why are you right about starting Justin Fields from the beginning?
I don't know that I am.
I'm just saying.
I can prompt Mitch Trubisky's not even starting anywhere this year, and that's all you
because
need to
he
know.
Had, I think you'd agree next year. There's
no,
be...
I can't. I don't know that
well,
for
there's
sure.
Not... Well, the... because you've been against him since day one. You've never told me why. He has a winning
because he
record.
Can't play. He can't play. That's
Mitch,
why.
Why don't you look up his statistics and tell me he can't play?
He can't throw the ball accurately down the field.
Either
he
can Trevor Lawrence right now or Justin Fields or a lot of guys. Come on.
I'll take Trevor Lawrence
Luke?
Every day of the week.
You think that Mitch will get 15 to 20 from some team next year, whether you think he deserves it or not?
There's just so few quarterback openings next year, I think.
That's just bias and hatred towards
but
the guy
it,
you've
but,
been.
But, he, but when you, the only time you can start bragging about Mitch Trubisky is when he goes to a team and wins.
The only he did, he was 29 to 21 with the Bears, and the only time you could actually brag about being right about a quarterback is if you would have said, keep Mitch.
Can we stop talking about Mitch Trubisky?
Because
like, I can't do it on a week-in and week-out basis
Well,
anymore.
We can't help it because it's like the LeBron Jordan thing. Why are you still talking about the old quarterback?
No, that's blasphemous to LeBron and Jordan. It's Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, but least. Justin Fields has done nothing to tell you that it's the right move. That's all.
But Mike, you could not. Do you really think the Bears should have paid $30-something million dollars a year for Mitch
not
Trubisky?
Not a year. I didn't say 30. That's your price. You well, said last week he wasn't worth 15.
Yeah, that's starting quarterback money, though.
That's what I tried to tell him last week. But
on the so you wanted them to what franchise him? The franchise?
No, I wanted him to be re-signed for the year and have Justin Field back him up. Well, I mean, if you could bring in Jordan Love for Aaron Rodgers, but see, you don't like Mitch at all. You don't like the 29-21. You don't like twice as many touchdowns as interceptions. You don't like the highest-rated Bear quarterback of all time. You don't like the highest completion percentage of all time. For some reason, you want to go everywhere else. You don't want to go to the best steak joint in town. You want to go to the diner.
I want a quarterback that is great, and he will never be great.
How,
I don't know that Justin Fields will be. I don't know that he will be. But I can promise you Mitchell Trubisky will never be great, ever. I want a quarterback to be great.
All right, so that it's unbelievable. Yeah. So that's on the odds couple today. The best steakhouse in town, that's like going to Des Moines and saying the best steakhouse in town is the Sizzler. This is the Bears. Just because you're the best steakhouse in town, which he's not, by the way. Jay Cutler is, and we could have our arguments with him too, but the way he vaults up Mitch is crazy. And the swimming pool, what was he talking about, the swimming pool being empty?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll look at the film more than I'll look at the statistics, but I've done the stats. You go back and you look at the help that he received based on this defense and the number of points that was necessary for the offense to score to win the majority of those games. Is just I think it's like they averaged 14 points per game. You know, it was all you needed to win the majority of the games because in some of the instances because of how good the defense was. Again, I would say be careful using wins and losses as the ultimate measuring stick for a quarterback. I'll give you the example again of Tom Brady against the Rams this year, threw for 450 yards and four touchdowns and no interceptions. And the Bucs lost to the Rams. It wasn't Tom Brady's fault, but the L goes on his record. So, you know, this was my problem. And again, I think this stems from there's this thought out here that no one is blaming Matt Nagy for Mitch. Everyone's just blaming Mitch. You can do both.
No, Matt Nagy's to be blamed for bad offense for 4 years.
Yes, and we said this for 2 years that I don't think that Matt Nagy did a good enough job getting the most out of Mitch and putting Mitch in a position to take advantage of what Mitch did well. Again, when did they have their most success last year? It wasn't Mitch was dealing and was dissecting defenses. They were running the football, and they were beating bad defenses last year. So, like, if you go back and you look at their success at the end of last year, why do you think when it got to you-know-what cutting time at the end of the season, do you know who they played the last game of the season? They played the Green Bay Packers. Look at what happened there offensively. When they went into the game against the New Orleans Saints, again, they were not capable offensively of doing enough. Was it all Mitch's fault? No, it wasn't. But I think all you have to do is look at the film and see where there are some limitations. He's not the worst quarterback in the world. But as Carmen said, and Carmen and Yurko have been consistent with this, you got to the point where you had to make a decision. Would you have kept Mitch for $10 million a year? Maybe. But you
he
were
going to be 20 plus.
He was
million.
Due $25 million. You can't give him $25 million.
Right.
He's not worth it. And I don't believe somebody is going to give
it's
him.
It's like Baker Mayfield.
Million.
Baker Mayfield isn't bad on your football team at a price. But you have now determined that you cannot pay Baker Mayfield, as Luke Pergani put it, the going rate for quarterbacks.
Look again. Go back to 2018. Okay. They were 12-4, right? That defense was historically good.
It was
they
had six, Khalil Mack 12-4.
Six touchdowns came from their defense or their return teams. So when you remove those points from their total point total, they go from like 441 scored points scored that year to like just over 400 points. It drops them in terms of where they rank. And so look, I give Mitch credit where credit is due. But they were not 12-4 in 2018 because of Mitch. They were 12-4 because that team defensively was the very best in the National Football League.
Yeah, I would disagree with Northy on the agreeing with Nagy. I think it's been the opposite. I think we've all told Nagy what to do, and then he ultimately does what people have said to do because it's so obvious, and then he finally does it, from his giving up play calling to going to Fields to going to Foles, all that stuff. 312-332-3776. Want to talk about the current Bears? I have some Bulls stuff, too. You want to get hot about the Bulls this weekend?
Why not?
We got a game tonight. We got a game against the Knicks on Sunday. DeMar DeRozan still in focus, getting a lot of national love, including one media guy who just retired from the NBA. I'll play that coming up next.
This is a Miller Lite, Waddle and Sylvie broadcast.
Live from Binney's Beverage Depot in Vernon Hills.
This is Chicago's home for sports. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
Just gave out the tickets to Bears and Ravens here at Binney's Beverage Depot. Vernon Hills, you still have time to come see us. The tickets are gone. We had two pairs to give away, too.
Ooh, two pairs. Wow.
There was a guy in the Blackhawks hoodie sweatshirt behind us when he heard me tease. He's very, very, very attentive. I teased coming up next. We got some more love for DeMar DeRozan. And then as soon as I threw it to a break, he looks at me and he goes, I thought you were giving away the tickets at 5:30. And I'm like, we do that off the air. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So,
I'm dodging Mitch bullets from friends of ours as well, too.
What do you mean you're dodging?
You are our buddy, Jim Kizios. He's a huge – he's yelling at me because he says I'm throwing in the towel with the team 3-6. Like, this is
thrown in what towel?
There's no towel being thrown in, and I'm not blaming everything on Mitch either. It's like, I love all of these guys that text me, but you're not listening to what I'm saying. Nobody's listening to what I'm saying.
Kizios, the towel has a bunch of poop on it, okay?
The one you're throwing.
It's got poop on it.
It does.
It's got some snot on it, and
yeah,
we're in the middle of a pandemic, and it's got a little puke on it, too, you know? What do you do with a towel that has puke?
I throw it in the washing machine and wash it and use it.
Throw
it away.
Like, there have been, like, where my kids have some accidents, you know, in their underwear. They're potty trained and everything.
Well, they're like their dad. They throw in a dumpster outside a local business.
Right, and they're on their way here now, so they're probably listening. And every now and then, they will gamble and lose. And then you survey the situation when the underwear comes off. And you're like, okay, these are salvageable. You could put them in the utility room. You put a little soap there. Then you run some hot water. And then you put it in the laundry. Because there's some tread marks there. It's fine. We've all had it. We've all been there. Stuff like that. But then there are other times.
Sounds like a Wednesday to you, doesn't it?
It does. But there are other times where you're like, holy, this is not salvageable. I'm not throwing this in one of my
Not only that, I'm burning my jeans as well.
Well,
not just the underwear.
I'm
the
talking
jeans
about
are
them
going
now.
In.
I'm not talking about me.
No, I'm talking about you.
I take the underwear and it goes right into the garbage. Kizios. That's the towel we're throwing away, right? What did he say? You're throwing in the towel.
I'm not throwing in the towel
with poop and puke and some snot on it.
I'm not giving
it. Not salvageable. This Bears team and the construction of this team is not salvageable. You're fooling yourself. You're living in fantasy land.
Listen, it's my perspective, and my perspective is from the beginning of this year, they weren't contending for anything. So what was most important to me as a Bears fan was the development of the quarterback, because he's the most important component. It's the same way, you got to listen to what I'm saying, like when we get to the conversation of Mitch. I'm not telling you Mitch is the worst quarterback that's ever played the game. What I'm telling you is that the coach didn't do enough to bring out what he did do well, and he doesn't do enough well to take you to where you need to go. So at some point, you got to cut bait.
You know what he did?
I'm not going.
Mike North reeled us in. That's what he did.
He did.
We took the bait.
But listen, I think that these are important. Like, these are the quarterback conversations that people have all the time. And I think you're right. I think you draw. I mean, I look at Baker Mayfield. What should the Cleveland Browns do? Should the Cleveland Browns give Baker Mayfield $30 million?
Right. And it's what Pergandy said, and I love Luke. I love Prop Swap. But when you're paying a quarterback that you don't believe in just because that's the going rate, it's time to find someone who's not just going to take the – like, you just – this follow the leader of this is what they make. I'm not for that. Not when they're not worth it. It's silliness. Like, just to pay Andy Dalton $10 million because that's what the backup makes – I'm not in for that. I'm not when you've got line problems, not when you've got other issues that can help you build a football
Well,
team.
If I saw some traits from the quarterback that I thought they could build on, then I'd be more open to it. But again, I watched enough of it to think that there's a ceiling here that you need to move on from. Like, you've seen it. And while it's a toxic relationship in some ways from a football perspective, the coach doesn't believe in the quarterback, so he's trying to fit the quarterback into his system when he should be trying to fit his system around the talents of his quarterback. At the same time, the quarterback doesn't have enough talent to actually take you to where you need to go. It was just that you were chasing your tail.
Yeah. And
you can't chase your tail with a huge price tag.
Can we all agree on this? Matt Nagy didn't get enough out of Mitch Trubisky.
We've always said
that. Matt Nagy didn't get enough out of Nick Foles.
Always said that.
Matt Nagy hasn't gotten enough out of Justin Fields. Do not repeat this next year. Let's not be sitting in a Binnie's in 2022 saying the same damn thing about the same damn coach.
I want to be here. I just want to have that
conversation. Well, no, I would love to be here. But don't do the same argument where we're arguing over the same thing, not getting enough off. Again, we could all agree on that. The truthers can agree he didn't get enough out of Trubisky.
Correct.
I can agree as a Foles guy that I thought Foles was worth salvaging and worth starting to start last year because it was the system that he played in that Matt Nagy did him wrong. And then Justin Fields, they've not gotten enough out of him, and they've had some boom goes the dynamite game. And what does all that have in common? The answer is Matt Nagy and your offensive coordinator. And in that span, he's fired himself twice. Let's not sit here next year and fall for the same
thing. I would say Cleveland, it's more of an indictment on Baker Mayfield because I actually like the process that the Cleveland Browns have gone through with Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah.
They have fortified their offensive line. They've got two Pro Bowl caliber running backs. They do commit to running the football. They stopped asking Baker Mayfield to drop back and chuck it downfield 45 times a game. So they've actually put a system in place and put pieces around him to actually accentuate what he does well. And he still hasn't been able to elevate them. So, like, every situation is different, but the whole conversation gets to be nutty at this point.
Yeah, I know. We gave in.
You get sucked into it.
We did. I want to play you this J.J. Redick, who I think is already a good NBA guy for his thoughts. He's had a podcast for a while. He's going to be on TV, and he's very good at breaking down stuff in the NBA, and I think he's a very well-respected player, and really in the second half of his career really got a great niche and did good work in the NBA. So J.J. Redick was talking about the Bulls with Richard Jefferson on ESPN. And, again, the conversation went to DeMar DeRozan. And the big surprise, even though everyone knew DeMar DeRozan was really good, some people thought, well, they overpaid for him. J.J. Redick breaks down what DeMar DeRozan is bringing to the table for the Chicago Bulls.
I think DeMar made a huge leap in playmaking when he was in San Antonio. It sort of went unnoticed. Last year, he averaged a career high in assists. To me, this is the most complete we've seen DeMar as an offensive player. He's even added in 2.5 threes per game, shooting it at 37%. We've seen seasons where he's completely ignored the three-point line. So he's sort of doing everything right now. If you were to have an MVP power rankings as of today, I'd put DeMar DeRozan third after Steph and KD.
So, and then we've talked about that. Anywhere from 3 to 5 right now, he's coming off a not-so-good game. I'm interested tonight at 8 o'clock to see what the Bulls have in store for us against a good Denver team. Can they finish off the trip, go over 500? I told you at the beginning of the trip, if they went 3-2.
You'd be happy.
I'd be doing handsprings.
I think not only are they a fun team to watch, I'm interested. I think they've got everyone's attention now, and I'm very interested to see how teams play them the second time around, see if they try to adjust, and see how successful they are adjusting to certain
You're
things.
You're going to see that Sunday.
Yeah,
so
the Knicks come to town.
And then remember, the Knicks got the better of them that game. The Knicks pretty much dominated that game until the last couple of minutes when the Bulls made that run,
right,
and they had the chance to win. I'm excited to see how they play the Knicks the second time around, the opposite of sort of what you're saying, because they did not play them well, and the Knicks have not played good basketball really since.
I think Tibbs sat a lot of his starters down for a while a few games back, didn't
he? Yeah. And I don't know if you've noticed what Steph is doing. It's early, but he right now is running away with the MVP. I want to read you a stat that's incredible coming up. And also, Joe Cowley had a one-on-one. Did you read this morning?
Yeah.
Cowley's been a huge critic of giving the max to Zach LaVine. And I thought Zach had some good responses, and it was a good conversation. I'll tell you what's in there. We'll have our predictions for the Bears game as well. And Bleck and Abdallah coming up at 6 o'clock.
This hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. College basketball is back. Join Coach Collins and the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena for matchups with DePaul, Illinois, and more. Tickets on sale now at NUSports.com.
Welcome back to Waddle and Sylvie live from Benny's Beverage Depot in Vernon Hills. Brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time.
With the Miller Lite flow.
We're on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Follow us at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Having a great time at Benny's Beverage Depot.
We're Somebody got a, had a sale on hair gel.
Yeah. My boys just came in with their, you like it?
I love it.
Braxy and Mason just walked in with my wife, Allie. We're going out to dinner, boys.
Woo!
Who are we going out to dinner with today, guys? Who? Daddy. Yes. It's a big deal when we go out to dinner with them. Because on Saturday nights,
you leave them at home.
Yeah. And they're going to their first Bears game. At least Braxy is. Mason's been to one this year.
Mason, don't wear your Lamar Jackson jersey on Sunday. Wear your Justin Fields jersey. No?
You got to wear the Justin Fields jersey.
No,
he said no, Dad.
The Tom Brady jersey has been taken away.
You can't wear a Tom Brady jersey to a Bears-Ravens game, Mason. You just can't.
Do you want to give him the microphone? Let's see what he could do here. Mason, this is your big chance. Who's your favorite player right now in the NFL?
Tom Brady.
Why is he your favorite player?
Goat.
He's the GOAT.
He's the GOAT.
That's the least you'll ever hear him talk.
Braxton, who's your favorite player?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, yeah. Listen, they're like winners.
That's what they
do. They're like winners.
Yeah. We're going to wear, Braxton, you're going to wear your Justin Fields jersey. Yes, you are. Yes,
yeah,
you are.
He's just messing with you right now. He's messing with you.
Now they're friends, right?
Wonder
now.
Twin powers. I guarantee you there'll be some punches thrown before they get out of here.
There
today.
Better not be. No, no, or else we go home.
Ooh.
We're all friends.
I meant with JR and Travis, there are going to be punches thrown. That's what I meant.
Have you seen what Steph is doing?
Yes. I don't believe Steph is playing tonight, though. But in their game last night, I think they came back from like an enormous deficit. He was doing things that were just crazy. Crazy.
I read this stat. Did you see this stat? Steph Curry finished with 40 points against the Cavs. This is from Stats and Info. Steph Curry finished with 40 points against the Cavs on Thursday. He made 9 three-pointers.
Unbelievable.
Curry has made 9 three-pointers in a game for the 38th time in his career. Curry has more games with 9 three-pointers since April. Okay? This is going back since April.
Unbelievable.
Which he has 9 three-point games, 10 of them since April, than any other player has in his career in the NBA. He has more games since April with 9 three-pointers than any other player has that many three-pointers in their career.
It's crazy. And again, they're without Klay Thompson, and they've been without Weissman as well. So, like, what they've done, and their comeback last night was just epic. As I said, I think a couple of three of their guys aren't playing tonight. I think they've got the Pistons tonight. I was actually looking at it from a gambling perspective.
Oh, really?
No,
nice.
Steph. I think the Warriors are still like a 2-point favorite. They're at Detroit, I think. But no Steph. Maybe Draymond is out as well. So they're going to have some guys out. But yeah, the comeback last night was crazy.
Yeah.
I just saw the highlights, but it was even the highlights are fun.
And they're having fun.
Oh, they're having fun again.
So Joe Colley had a sit down, or they had a conversation with Zach about, again, this max. The max has scared people with Zach because, and this is sort of like the quarterback conversation, right?
Yeah.
Where, okay, when a quarterback comes up, you have to pay him what the quote going rate is. So like a team gives Kirk Cousins money, which I'm not a fan of because I don't believe Kirk Cousins is truly in that class of quarterback. I'd rather move on and try and play it a different way and build my team while I'm looking. I don't want to get into that though. So this is like Zach. Where is Zach worth that max? And now they've already set the table with good players where even if they would wave goodbye to Zach, I don't believe they have a ton of cap room. They're able to work this in because now Zach with his bird rights will be able to fit in and they'll be able to go. He's their own player and he could go over the cap and they could pay the luxury tax.
Right. All it's going to cost them really, you may not think he's worth the max, but it's the right financial decision for them.
Yeah. Because then if he doesn't sign here too, someone's going to give him top dollar. So I think it's 210 and I thought he had good comments about.
Isn't he available? Isn't the Supermax possible for him as well? I thought that was part of Callie's article.
There's got to be. I think it's for first team All NBA honors.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So like he's got to be first team All NBA. Then he could go to like 240,
right?
230 or 240. So it's astronomical money. But again, this is a guy who can score it any way he can get it. He's improving defensively.
I thought that was a good part of the article too,
right.
Statistically. And your eye tests, you see how more active he is on defense, and he talks about the maturity. I thought it was a great article.
I
enjoyed Zach being willing to have the conversation without being like one of these defensive athletes that doesn't even want to talk to you about it. It was like he was engaging Joe with the conversation.
Zach's points were a couple of things. Anyone who's willing to judge him defensively now, he says he's not finished. He says he will always be a worker.
Yeah.
And he is always working on his game, no matter how old he gets. And he showed you the stats about what his defensive rating is now compared to last year when it was really bad. There was just, again, the eye test moment. There was a possession down the stretch in the really close game against Portland where he was on Dame.
Yep.
And he was completely all over Dame. Now, Dame ended up having a good fourth quarter, but there were possessions where Zach stayed right with him, and that's hard to do, period, let alone a guy who comes with a reputation. So his point is, look, I'm not a finished product. I've gotten better every year. I've added stuff to my game every year, whether it's playmaking and assists to now the improving defensive game to the three-point shooting that's been really good.
I think also I think the presence of Caruso and Ball and DeRozan raise his level of defensive play, not just because they can handle some of the stuff, but like you don't want to be the weak link.
Right.
like you pick up your stuff as well, because you don't want to be the one that's highlighted. Hey, this guy's got his guy. This guy's doing the right thing, but Zach's the one that's lagging on defense. You don't see that with him right now. So the effort has been phenomenal.
I think he got better, too, with the Olympics.
Yeah.
I think that really, the peer pressure there and being with the best, he can't take plays off there.
No.
All right, so what do you think this weekend? I've got like 31-22 Ravens.
Oh, so you have the Ravens covering.
Yeah, I do. I told you I don't trust this team.
I will say 27-24 Ravens.
All right.
So I think it'll be a closer game.
A 27-24 game would be very interesting.
All 24 points come via offense. No defensive touchdowns.
All right. We've got Bleck and Abdallah coming up here in just two short minutes. Thank you to them for their great work all week. Thank you also to JD, who went out of his way to be here with us in person at Binney's Beverage Depot. Also, Carmen DeFalco, thank you to him. Thank you to our great listeners and fans. We had a great crowd throughout the day today who stopped in to Binney's Beverage Depot. The guys at Binney's Beverage Depot always roll out the red carpet. And, of course, none of this is possible without our friends and partners at Miller Lite.
You guys having steak tonight? Braxton?
Oh, yeah. We're going out to
Mason?
A little Tsukasa. Mason will eat the steak.
Yeah.
We're going to have a great dinner.
Big dessert as well. And stick your dad with the bill.
Who else is going to be paying?
I mean,
mom and dad pay. Yeah. We both pay. Yeah. All right. Have a great weekend.
You
all right.
Too.
Bleck and Abdallah in two short minutes. Thanks to JR and Travis and marketing and all of our teammates here who made this possible. And again, Miller Lite, without them, none of this is possible. Bleck and Abdallah in 2 minutes. For Waterline Sylvie, it's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great weekend.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.